Matthew chapter number 9. If you can, stand with me together as we read verses 35 to 38. I'm going to read a familiar passage of Scripture. And the last verse of this passage, boy, I've seen it as themes of missions conferences. I've seen it quoted so many times in missions, and I've seen it when we were on deputation. We were a part of 55 different missions conferences. We've now conducted 8 missions conferences on the field as our people are challenged to give to missions also. We don't want missions to stop on the mission field. But I want to show you this morning how this passage of Scripture still remains fresh in my heart and in our lives. Matthew 9 and verse 35, the Bible says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Father, thank you so much for this time, and thank you for the opportunity to testify of what you're doing all throughout the world. And Lord, I pray that you'll help me as I preach even now. Thank you for the privilege. Amen. You may be seated. I love teachings on prayer. Here is Jesus telling us to pray to the Lord of the harvest, and we can see various teachings on prayer throughout the Bible. We're told specific things to ask for. Matthew 21 and verse 22, "In all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." We're told in what manner to ask. When the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." He said, "When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven." We know that model prayer. But then it's amazing how many times the Lord has to simply remind us to ask and has to just simply tell us again to ask. "Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find." And, we know that prayer is asking and receiving, and it is astonishing how many times God has to simply just remind us to pray. But I want to show you how this morning that this passage that we just read is a unique teaching on prayer. When we look at what we just read, Jesus had been teaching and preaching and healing in Galilee, and then he looks upon the multitudes, and he has compassion upon them. He sees them as sheep scattered abroad, having no shepherd. I remember the first time that we took a furlough. I was worried about who would teach to our people the way that we had tried to, and who would try to reach the people the way that we had tried to. And I can imagine that Jesus, as he's looking on the multitudes, he's being reminded once again that he would not have very much time on the earth. Who would come behind him and teach and preach and reach the people as he had? Who would come and love them as he had? Then we see that he gathers the disciples together and he begins to teach them something, just very brief. But he does it with a heart full of compassion. I can imagine he may have even said these statements with a tear in his eye. As he first of all said, "The harvest truly is plenteous." It's interesting to note that when Jesus made this statement that the harvest truly is plenteous nearly 2,000 years ago, historians will tell you that there was less than 250 million people on the entire earth when Jesus said the harvest truly is plenteous. We have more people than that just in America today, 2,000 years later. America has a population of over 300 million people. There's over 1 billion people on the continent of Africa, over 1 billion people just in India, over 1 billion people just in China. When Jesus made the statement that the harvest truly is plenteous, there was 30 times less the number of people than there are today. If the harvest truly is plenteous then, how much more so today? How much more so today with 8 billion people on the earth? How much more so today with population centers all throughout the globe who still do not, many of them still do not have the gospel? The harvest truly is plenteous. It was only in the year 1800 that the world population reached 1 billion people. And now we've seen it multiply over and over and over again. The harvest truly is plenteous, more so today than it was when Jesus made that statement. And it's not getting any smaller. But just as that statement is true, so is the next statement. The laborers are few. The laborers are few. That's not just a statement for the world, but I think it's a statement for our churches. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Would to God that this Sunday morning crowd that we have here would also be the labor force of Bethel Baptist Church. Would to God that everyone under the sound of my voice on Sunday morning would also be here on Saturday morning for visitation. I know it's putting things on the doors, and I know it's a challenge to talk to people and to give out the gospel today. I know you gotta lather a track in hand sanitizer before you can give it to them, but folks, we can still labor for Jesus Christ, and the laborers are few. When I was on deputation, we were in contact with 11 different missionaries. Several of them were graduates from the same Bible college that I went to, and that's how we had first gotten a heart to go to Nigeria, was hearing fellow graduates talk about the place. But over the course of deputation and during our first 2 years on the field, we watched 7 of those missionaries go home. Several of them getting divorced, and several never returning to the ministry. The laborers are few, and boy, we need more laborers on the mission field. We need more laborers around the world, but we need more laborers right here in this church. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And then the way that the verse 38 became real to me is I begin to think about what would happen if Jesus showed up at one of our prayer meetings. I'm not sure how you do it in your midweek service, but we take prayer requests from the floor, and sometimes that makes a pastor nervous, amen, to take prayer requests. Sometimes you'll have somebody show up and they want to tell about a dream that they had, or they'll take 10 or 15 minutes. Anytime that happens, my people just stare and look at me because they love to see me change colors, they say. They love to see me go from white to red, and they love to see me get embarrassed. And they'll say, "Oh, Pastor, you changed colors tonight." What if Jesus came to our prayer meeting, and what if he sat in our auditorium, and as people were giving prayer requests for someone who was sick in the hospital, or someone who, needed the gospel, or a teenager will raise his hand for prayer when he has an exam. Amen. That's when we all get spiritual. But what if Jesus raised up his hand for a prayer request? What would that prayer request be? I don't think it's any mystery. If Jesus sat in our prayer meeting and raised up his hand, it would be word for word, Matthew 9 and verse 38. And he would say, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." You see, I don't think this is just any other generic teaching on prayer. I don't think this is just God reminding us to pray. This is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ giving us his prayer requests. And I would challenge you to find another place where he does this very thing any other time. This is the Lord and Savior telling us about the Lord of the harvest and telling us about the heart of the Heavenly Father and telling us his prayer request. And if we would take the prayer request of Jesus Christ and make it our prayer request, I think we would see some amazing things happen, because it would change each person involved. It would affect each person involved. You see, when Jesus gives us his prayer request, he's speaking about the Lord of the harvest. That's the Heavenly Father. Of course, Jesus is the one doing the speaking. And then he's speaking to the disciples. That's you and me. And taking Jesus' prayer request and making it our prayer request would affect each person involved. First of all, I believe it would give the Heavenly Father allowance. Now, I struggle as to what word to even use there, because I don't want to get into a debate on what God can do and what he's waiting for us to do. But it seems pretty simple that if we would pray for laborers, there would be more laborers in the harvest. And so I wonder whose fault it is that there's not more laborers. Is it God's fault? Is it the Heavenly Father's fault? It's our fault. And it's just like that with other things in the Christian life. There's so many prayer promises we don't take advantage of just because we don't ask. You have not because ye ask not. My favorite prayer promise is James 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I love that verse. I love the qualifier for that verse. If any of you lack wisdom, amen. Anybody want to testify that they're perfect in wisdom? I mean, hey, I've been married long enough to know that I lack wisdom. Hallelujah. I've slept on the couch enough times enough to know that I lack wisdom. Amen. Don't worry. It's not because why I'm traveling by myself today, okay? But the thing is that we need wisdom, and there's whole days that go by that we don't even claim that promise that he'll give and upbraid not. That means he'll never rebuke us for asking for wisdom. That upbraideth not. He knows we need it. But it's the same thing. We have not because we ask not. We complain about, oh, we need more workers in the church. We need more laborers. God is waiting for somebody to ask. Praying for laborers throws open the door. It gives God the liberty to do what he already wants to do. And that's to send forth more laborers. He's waiting for somebody to ask. Praying for laborers gives the Heavenly Father allowance. Praying for laborers, secondly, gives the disciples awareness. And I think this is the reason that we don't pray for laborers. It's because when you start praying for laborers, God's not going to let you sit still. He's going to show you the plenteous harvest right in front of you. He's going to give you a burden for your next door neighbor and for that gas station attendant and for the grocery store clerk. He's going to give you a burden for your fellow student in school. And he's going to give you a burden for your coworker. He's going to give you a burden to give the gospel and to become a laborer. You see, there's only a couple of things that can happen if you start praying for laborers. And if you make this prayer request at the top of your prayer list and make it as important as Jesus made it, either you'll become a laborer or you'll stop praying. Because he won't let you sit still. He's going to put a burden in your heart to give out the gospel. Praying for laborers gives the Heavenly Father allowance. It gives the disciples awareness. And lastly, it gives the Savior his answer. Reason with me for a moment. If this is the prayer request of Jesus Christ, and I believe it is, and if you and I started praying for laborers, and God started calling more laborers, and one of those laborers just happened to be you, you would become the prayer request. You would become the answer to the prayer request of Jesus Christ. I like answers to prayer. Amen. I love answers to prayer. I could stand around for the next hour and tell you about answers to prayer all throughout our ministry, throughout our family, throughout different times in Nigeria. But you know what is just as amazing as getting an answer to prayer? It's being an answer to prayer. And those of you who have ever labored and given out the gospel and you've seen the light come on in somebody's eyes, you've seen a tear come down their cheek, and you've watched as they pray and receive Christ as Savior, and then their head comes up and you say, you know, I'd been asking for God to send somebody to explain the Bible to me. I've been praying for somebody, for God to send somebody to let me know how I could go to heaven. And God sent you. You don't have to go to a foreign country for that. Let me help you with that. You don't have to leave this church for that. You can be right here and reaching this area and find people who are praying for God to send them somebody. Even today. Every time you give out a tract, every time that you preach the gospel, every time that you go soul winning, every time that you lead someone to Christ, you're becoming an answer to the prayer request of Jesus Christ. I want to be an answer to that prayer request. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I just want to challenge you with two things, and then I'll give it to your pastor. First of all, I'd love for you to decide today that if praying for laborers is that important to Jesus Christ, I'm going to make it that important to me. And then I also want you to decide that you'll become a laborer today. You may be here this morning and you may say, well, I'm just not the laborer that I ought to be, or I've been distracted by the recent events and the things of this world, but however the Lord will allow me to do so, I want to become a laborer. And if that's your decision today, I pray that you'll seal it in your heart. Call out to the Lord and get Him to remind you to pray for laborers and prepare you to become that laborer. Father, I pray that you'll help us to take this to heart. And Lord, that you'll help us to decide this morning as we're here. If there's any of that's not saved, Lord, we've got laborers within this very room that can lead them to Christ. And Lord, I pray that they would come this morning. Lord, I pray that you'll help us as we decide. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand together.